Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we know that as we come in your name, you are in the midst of us. So we just welcome you here. Open our heart to you, to the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to minister to us, to give us revelation and understanding, to enable us to grasp your truth, that the truth set us free. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, what you're doing day by day in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to expand some more on understanding God's way in teaching his children. Okay. The training of the Holy Spirit is really important for us to understand and to allow what he wants to do with us to take place, because God is always ministering to us, always helping us to grow in him. That's what is his desire. That's what he wants to do for us so that we can be closer to him in our relationship with him. Okay? This is what he does with us. Is really practical training, not just theory or just mental study or whatever, or just Bible study. It's always application to our life so that our life is impacted, changed, and we can work things out within ourselves so that we can grow in him, so that we can develop. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he wants to do that. And it, really, that work that he does or not comes through the relationship that we have with him. Our relationship is fundamental for us to be able to connect with him, to be able to hear him, to be able to grow in him. And that's what he wants us to do. Okay. God's plan for us is to grow spiritually closer to him, to learn from him and the Holy Spirit how to receive from him and to get our needs met through him. This is the way that, you know, the things actually here is just to be able to receive direction and to have our needs met is really something that happens together. If we don't receive direction, then he cannot minister to us. It's our relationship with him that makes all the difference. Okay, so, you know, and to do that, we had to learn to listen carefully what he's telling us. And you know, today I'm going to start to expand a bit on that. Okay, so and understand the way he practically does, because it's not completely clear. You know, from everything is there, but we had to put the pieces together, okay? And the way he does, the approach that it takes is something that everybody knows, but one thing is to know about it, to know superficially, another thing is actually to do practically, to apply it to ourselves. And what it happens with is what is called the renewal of the mind. Okay, that is where things change. Okay, without that, you know, our mind is going to be an hindrance. We had to allow our mind to change and to align up with God's direction, thoughts, and understanding. Okay, and really, you know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 really give us the information that we need, but it's really very condensed. Doesn't go into how that happened, how the Holy Spirit does. This is actually what the Holy Spirit does. It's not just us doing Bible study. Bible study is the starting point. But if we stop there, we get no much farther than our mind. You see, the mind has to start changing so that we can receive God's thoughts and ideas in our heart. The heart is where the impact has to be, and where we make decisions, and where we take positions in our life day by day, Okay, so, you know, says, you know, beseech you therefore, brethren, you know, with the mercies of God, see, happens, that happened through God's mercy. We have to understand that it's God's compassion toward us. Mercies of compassion is really the same thing. The mercies of God, you know, that we are going to be presenting, offering ourselves, our body, a living sacrifice. Really doesn't want sacrifices that we, you know, do, but he wants us to offer ourselves to be transformed, to be becoming more and more the way he wants us to be, because we are lining ourselves up in our heart, in our position, in our thoughts, with this idea, with these thoughts. Hallelujah. Okay, and this is what is really holy, our separation from the world, acceptable to God. Okay, which is really the reasonable service, is what he expects from us. It's completely, you know, God is our shepherd. And we are supposed to be our sheep relating with him. Okay, as we do that, this is what really his expectation, his relationship that he wants to have with us. Okay, that means like sheep, relate to the shepherd, you know, expect us to be able to trust him and hear him and follow him, enabling us to walk with him, okay? Listening to his voice and believe in him, trusting in him. That is the basis, that's the foundation of it, okay? And that is going to produce the change, okay? That is going to enable us really to be able to hear him and to be able to listen to his voice as we believe in him. Okay. Now that, you know, and so that is going to be the transformation in us. You know, they're not conformed by the things in the world around us, but be transformed by what? By the renewal of, you know, our mind. Renewing the way we think. Okay. Renewing the way we judge things. Renewing the way we, you know, make decisions. It is not based anymore on worldly thoughts and ideas, but on his ideas, by his direction. Okay. Indeed, that's the way we are going to prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Hallelujah. You see, but as you trust him, you will hear him. Because God is loving and merciful, he will keep speaking at you, to you and with you, you know, to communicate to you the truth that you need to understand. He's there always communicating with us if we are trusting him and listening. But we have the ability to cut off things that we don't want to hear. And that becomes a problem. We have to understand what the implications of that is. Okay, but God is faithful. But he's faithful not to the things we necessarily think. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to what he promised. So when he speaks to us and he, you know, give us his word, okay, he is going to be faithful to what he tells us. But we have to believe in him and we have to accept what he tells us. Okay, hallelujah. And because he, you know, God is faithful to his word, okay? He will be able to guide you in the things that you actually need. He knows your need better than you do yourself. You know, we can spend time praying and, you know, really before we open our mouth, God knows what we need. It's just for us to remind ourselves that he hears us, okay? God is faithful to his word. And if you, you know, will receive what he said, okay, with that's going to happen because the thinking, the process of what you believe, with the way you judge things, you know, is starting to align up with his truth. And that process, you know, is going to produce the change in your heart that will result in a faultless heart change. At that level inside you, in the inner man, but what happens is that is going to be manifested, okay? And what is going to, the result of that, that you're going to experience, okay, is will. And his you know, his plan, his desire, his goal is for us, for you to have victory, to develop, to grow the way he wants us to you to be. Okay. But to be able to do that, to be able to do that, has to do really as is dependent on our relationship with him. And to really be able to connect with him, we have to start understanding and connecting with God's nature. Okay. Understanding the way he is and the way he works. Okay. And he's, you know, there are many, you know, the whole Bible talks about that. So, you know, it's not a question of just, you know, there are some places that give us enough information to give us a good starting point. Okay. And we are going to start from Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is one of the best points, okay, is one of the best part of the Bible maybe to memorize and meditate on to improve your relationship with God. It's not that long and has all the key element of a relationship with him. The things is going to make a big difference in the way we see him, the way we interact with him, the way we grow in him. Okay? See, it's a good psalm. And, you know, help us exactly not only to relate to him with your relationship with God, but also how to receive from God guidance and blessings. So I would suggest, you know, and encourage you, you know, to, you know, memorize it and meditate on it. It's not that long, and it's going to really help us to align ourselves with him. But we are going to cover some of the major points here today. Okay. First of all, we start from the beginning. Verse 1 says, Psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And what he's saying here is really the position that we have to have. That we are going to expand much more on that. But if we have this position in which we bless the Lord, we are grateful toward him, you know, that put us in the place to be able to hear and to receive. If we don't have that position, if we are not trusting God, our ears are going to be plagued by our lack of trust. We need to trust him more than anything else. And here he's starting really in that position. And then he's expanding on that to show some of the aspect of that reason why he's blessing him. Okay? Basically, it's the thing that he blesses us. Okay? But the idea, you know, that we had to start, this is the goal that we had, the position we had to get to. What is going to ensure us from being able to connect with him, to have a relationship with him, and to believe in, you know, his intervention in our life so that we let him to do that. Because God doesn't push anybody. He just let you make your decisions. Okay? He tries to get to you. He tries to be ministering to your needs. But that comes at the end when you start connecting with him. Okay? So now, then goes on and says something in verse 2 that is important to understand. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, again, you know, and forget not all his benefits. You know, it says, you know, why is saying that he forget not all his benefits? Because when we are in trouble, when we have needs in our life, you know, we end up focusing on them rather than focusing on him. And that's the wrong focus to have, because what's going to happen is what you focus on, you give power. So what you're focusing on your needs, you give power to your needs, and you're there lacking things. Because our needs, it means something you don't have that you want. So instead it says, you know, forget not what he promises. His benefits is nothing else than his promise. It's so easy to forget the benefit when we are in need, okay? And we do not, especially when we do not understand God's way. Because when we understand God's way, then it becomes easy to shift our attention on the way that these needs are going to be met. Okay? So what you can expect from God, you know, the need that is going to satisfy you is given in the following verse. You say, who forgives all your iniquities. Very clear. Okay, so if forgiveness, that's where you can find the forgiveness of everything that you did or you do wrong. Okay, connecting with him. Okay, who heals all your diseases. Praise the Lord. So that again, okay, is really something that is promising you. These are promises that he is making here. You know, who redeems your life from destruction. Anything that produces destruction in your life, he is going to help you to get out of that situation that is trying to destroy you or to affect you in a negative way. Who crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So really, is loving kindness, the fact that he, you know, the way he feels for you. You know, that's why he does it with you, for you, and helps you, you know, doing the things that the promises of the benefit, because he is, you know, a tender mercy, is merciful and good. And this is a concept that is repeated all over again in this psalm. We're going to see some more, okay, later on. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that you, your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, the eagles, after 40 years or so, their beak start growing, yet they become old. And what they do, they bang their beak against the rock so until it falls off and a new one grows. Okay, so they again are renewed by, you know, God's plan for their life. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. To explain, because otherwise, you know, doesn't know what's happening here. Okay. Ooh, the Lord executes righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed. So here, you know, it covers everything that you need. Everything, and he does it in his righteousness. And he goes, you know, just going by just, you know, by, so, you know, he knows what is right. He knows the right way of doing it. Okay? And so he applied to you and ministered to you. Okay? So, to show how that happens, it comes the following verse. Okay? Verse 7. Okay? Says, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. You see, Moses understood the Lord. He had a relationship with God. Okay? And so he knows the way God operated. God really, that's what he wants for you. To be able to connect with you so that you know his ways. You are not like the children of Israel that only knew his acts. You know, they saw the miracles that was taking place, the signs, the wonder. But, you know, that wasn't enough. Just to see the signs and wonders of God is not enough, because the result for them, most of them didn't make it to the promised land. Okay? Just doing that is not enough. But you know what happened? God wanted to connect with them. Or say, oh, no, no, we are afraid. Talk to Moses. And he tells us to do well. Sorry, that doesn't work very well. We need to be able to be connected personally. He wants to minister to us through his power, to his love, to everything that he has for us, so that we can receive. But we have to be open to that relationship, because otherwise you cannot go always through another person. Or maybe, you know, see, that's why they were called the children of Israel. Because they were children. Instead of growing up, God wanted them to grow up. See, one thing was Israel, because he grew up at the end from Jacob to Israel. But, you know, the children of Israel remained children of Israel, and so they were in the position, you know, and they died in the desert. That's not a good place to stay. Are you following what I'm saying? See, I mean, there is a reason why they were called the children of Israel. They were complaining like all the kids. I don't want to go. When God was telling them to do something, or they wanted the ice cream or whatever it is, or their whatever it is, you know, the manna was not good enough. We want chickens. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, this shows that they were still infants. And they didn't really connect with God. They were trying to do it through Moses. And that's not a good way to do it. You can get only much less that way. Okay? God wants to connect with you, want to minister to you. Okay? Praise the Lord. They were afraid to really, instead of really connecting with God and try to do it through somebody else. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, to be able to make that connection, we had to understand God. We had to start trusting Him. We had to start connecting with Him. Okay? And so here it goes, you know, it's expanded in all the psalm here. You know, the different aspect of that relationship. In verse 8, that's the one coming after, says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." So here he's giving us the type of personality and aptitude that God has. You know, He's merciful, okay, and gracious and patient. You know, slow to anger. He doesn't react, you know, with your stubbornness. He just wants to connect with you, want to minister to you, okay? Mercy, okay, is compassion. Gracious is giving you what you don't deserve, because He loves you and He wants to help you. But you have to give Him the opportunity to do that. You have to be open to receive. Hallelujah. Says, and then go and continue about it, be slow to anger. You know, says there, you know, He will not always strive with you, nor will He keep His anger forever. So, you know, the idea is that, you know, He's not that difficult to please. He is there trying to connect with you, okay? And He's not, you know, like one of those parents that are upset all the time, you know, complaining and you know, putting down their children. He doesn't work that way. He wants to help us, and He's there to minister to us with His attitude of mercy and graciousness. And we had to start believing that and experiencing that so that we can connect with Him otherwise. You know, but we had to know that He's that way before we haven't, you know, otherwise, if you go according to religion, you know, religion tells you different things. It's the relationship that He wants with us that makes the difference. Hallelujah. Okay? Praise the Lord. He will not always strive nor keep His anger forever. Praise the Lord. And the reason for that is because He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our limitations. He knows our shortcomings. And He still loves us. And He still wants to minister to us. Verse 10, He has not dealt us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Okay, that means, you know, merciful involves that He has compassion for our conditions. Okay, He's compassionate toward us. So He feels sorry for us because we miss it so easily. Okay, not only that, but He's gracious. You know, He's giving us opportunities. He's giving us blessings. Okay, try to encourage us and to empower us. Hallelujah. Okay. How does God's grace work? Because, you know, it's not just something that comes just naturally out. We have to understand how to receive God's grace. Okay. And here is in verse 11 tells us exactly that. It says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward those who fear Him. That tells a story, don't you think? I mean, you know, I'm going to read it again because this is such an important verse. Okay. As the heaven is above the earth, so it's really much higher, okay? His great is mercy, okay? His mercy is His compassion, His love for us, okay? Toward us, toward those who fear Him. Why does He is that way? Because those who fear God are quick to listen. Because they have the ears wanting to please Him, and so they are listening better, and they are going to be responding better. That's why they are, you know, are you following what I'm saying? You see, he's being open to the Lord, being, you know, afraid to displease him. That open up the ability for us to hear what he's telling us to do. If we don't care, if we want to do our own thing, you know, that's not going to get very far because we are just caught up in ourselves. It's not by being caught up in ourselves, it's by caught up in him, wanting to please him. Then we are going to see that there are other aspects of that. They come up in just a minute. Yeah. Okay. So, this concept that there's mercy is toward those who fear him is repeated many times in this psalm. Okay. And he's not even being afraid of him, he's really being afraid of missing him, being afraid of being separated from him. That's the idea. Okay? So, praise the Lord. Now, continue here. Verse 13. As a father pities his children. You know, I don't, the word there, pities, can be much better translated. That word is as compassion, shows compassion for them. Okay? So the Lord pities those who fear him. Again, the same thing. Okay, those who actually want to stay connected with him. They don't want to lose that relationship. Those are the people that are going to be able to hear. And so this is, you know, as the same love that the Father has for the children is for those that actually are his children. Because we, you know, he's our Father. But not only that, you know, the implication here, again, is calling about children here, is the fact, you know, children are young, immature, stubborn, selfish. But the parents, a loving father, has pity for them and try to be nice to them anyway. This is God's attitude. That's the Father's attitude. That even those that are stubborn and not listening and put up a tantrum, you know, you reach out, he reach out and minister to them. Are you following me? This is what is reflecting his personality, his character. Okay? He's a good father. Okay? Continue in verse 14. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but we're dust. So, you know his frame really is the way we are formed, the way, you know, our formation, the way he has constructed us. He knew the way we are made better than we know ourselves. He understands exactly everything about us. And we often don't. And we just are just selfish-centered, but he loves us even that way. Praise the Lord. Okay, that should help us to understand God's attitude. He's not there with a sledgehammer, and as soon as you get out of place, crush you off. That's not God's attitude. God's attitude is like a good father that cares about you, even if you make a tantrum. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, if we don't understand that, if you go according to the religious idea, you know, God is there trying to get you all the time. That's not the case. God is more than understanding because he made you and he knows your weaknesses and your own your ignorance and your own your limitations. And so he deals with you according to what he knows, not according what to theory or according to ideas that are not true. He is very understanding. Okay, so and he says, you know, to expand a bit on that, as for man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower in the field, and for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and his place knows him no more. So, you know, you just are here around for just a short time, and God knows exactly that, and he, you know, knows the implications of that, okay? But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. For who? For those who fear him. Again, just gets back again. You see, he just wants to get something across here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is where you are going to really get the proper direction. You're going to open up yourself to the Lord. So, you know, those who fear them, and his righteousness to the children's children, you know, even, you know, your children, right? But not all the children. You see, it's not that it does happen to all your children, happen only to those who keeps his covenant and remember his commandment. So it's not the one that want to go their own way, but the one that remain connected with him. Okay, so this is an important thing in the component in which he works for. Okay, so that's, if you want, the environment, the you know, the way he is in general, his character, his characteristics that we had to connect with. And talks about his compassion, his mercy, his, you know, his grace all the time. And unless we realize that, we are not going to be able to connect with him because we have wrong ideas of God. And we are going to talk, not today, you know, later on, about how we can see that too. Okay? Now, he is trying to train us, to make us grow up from babies, maybe to children, to grown-up, mature believers. Okay, and the process is really his plan for us. So that what that actually means, you know, that from we cannot connect with him, you know, and we depend completely on his mercy and his love, you know, to reach out because we can't hear anything, and he's there feeding us, ministering to us, to the when we start doing something, but, you know, like teenagers, we think we know everything, but don't. And so on. So he still knows that. He knows our frame. So he knows the limitation that we have in connecting with him, and he goes out of his way. He's a good father. He is an understanding father. Not like the psychologist of today, but, you know, the way he understands, he's been around much longer than they. Praise the Lord. And he wants really to help us and find in different way. And so he's keep us in training, works on us. Now, in the Bible, okay, the training of the Lord has a different name. And I think there is a bit of a problem with the name because it's a connotation, you know, the word that is generally used in a negative way, but it's not necessarily so. Okay? The word, for example, in the New King James is chastening. Okay? Chastening you. Okay? But the thing is, that word has different meaning. Different meaning depending on where you are, the way you respond. Okay? And we have to understand that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is expanded. You know, for example, in the Old Testament is musar, which actually means a warning, an instruction, a restraint, depending on the situation. Okay, so as a different application, as a different manifestation, if you want. In Greek, in the New Testament Greek, is paideia, okay, which actually means, okay, education, training, instruction, and correction, if it's the case, or discipline. You know, that from paideia is the word pedagogue or pedagogy, you know, that actually means to teacher or educator for young children. So you see what this actually is talking about here is how God trains us or educates us when we are growing up and we need to understand. And he knows that. He's a good teacher and he's a good father. Okay? So, let's get into it. Let's get more into this understanding and you know, and see that there are many places in the Bible in which this is explained. But often they don't talk about these things because they're not understood and people, you know, don't understand God's nature. When instead, when they understand it, it can help them enormously. Okay? And I don't have, for me, the Bible is good from the beginning to the end. I don't cut anything off, okay? I take what is there, and what is there is good, because it's what we need to hear. And here, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2 says, "Know today that I do not speak to your children." I'm going to read again, you know. know today that I do not speak with your children. Who have not known, who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God. So, I mean, he's talking to people that have matured some. Because talking to the children is like, you know, you talk to a two-year-old child, they don't understand very much. Don't waste your time to reason to them. Okay? And so this is talking here. You know, I'm not talking with people that don't know it. I'm talking with somebody that is mature enough to be able to understand what I'm talking about. Evidently not completely mature, because otherwise it wouldn't need for me to be training him, because he's already trained. I want to train them, though. Okay, that's the idea. Okay? So knowing that I'm not, you know, they have not known or have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness, and his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. Now here he's giving us an indication, okay, the way he does this training. Okay? He does this training with, you know, his greatness, his powerful. God is powerful, he's almighty. Okay? He has a great, the power to do anything. Okay, so he is working with a mighty hand, you know, by power and strength. Okay, but not only by strength. You know, he also, it says there, you know, mighty hand, but also with his outstretched arm. And that shows a parent with opening the arm to a little child that doesn't know too much and try to help him and control, you know, and try to produce a change in him, you know, by being nice to him. So, you know, the stretched arm is his, receiving us the way we are. Are you following what I'm saying? This is important to understand, because when we understand that, we understand God's character, we understand the way he deals with us, then we can take much better the way he works with us. And we can connect with him, and no matter where we are on the scale. And we're going to see much more about that. Okay, so his mighty hand is the power and strength in which we work in some cases, you know, and reaches out to us with a stretched arm as a loving parent. Hallelujah. But, you know, little baby, okay, can still receive. Even if they, you know, first of all, because God opened up his arm, but, you know, children, okay, a parents, a older siblings, and so on. So there are others that sometimes know the Lord better than they do, and they can minister to them the same way as Moses ministered to the children of Israel. But the problem is, it's not as effective as when you connect with him yourself. See, that's why many didn't make it to the promised land. Okay? God wants you to experience the victory, you to experience the growth, so that you are connected with him and he can minister to you according to your needs. Fulfill, you know, forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. So, okay. So we, God's plan, God's intention is for us to become like Moses or like Israel, not like the children of Israel. So that we grow up and we learn to connect with him. Okay. And how you do that? Trusting God, hearing him, and obeying him. Okay. That's the secret. Now, you know, for example, take some scripture, you know, that talk about this training. For example, trust the Lord, you know, to be able to go through this training process. Okay. Proverbs 3:5-10 gives you an indication of how this process takes place and the impact. This is repeated what already they were there. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay? Your understanding is limited. His understanding is perfect because he is omniscient. He is omniscient, so he knows everything. And he knows exactly what you need and how to minister to you. And so he worked that way, okay? He has all the wisdom. He knows exactly the best way to deal with you personally. Nobody else us the same degree of understanding, and so he does for sure the right thing with you. But you have to start believing that. Because if you don't believe that and something doesn't go your way, then you start complaining because you get manna today and it's not what you want. Are you with me yet? Good. Praise the Lord. So how do you trust the Lord? Well, it says it afterwards. See, I mean, the word gives us all the information we need. And if we go just by what it says, we are going to be enormously helped. It says, you know, verse 6. You know your way, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, acknowledge him is the word there is yada, which actually means experientially know him. Okay, that means that you realize, experientially know him. That means, you realize that his way is better than yours. And so you want to trust him with all your heart because, he knows better than yourself what is good for you. What that means, that really, you know your way and acknowledge him. Because you don't depend on yourself, you depend on him. Okay? And he, when you do that, shall direct your path. Praise the Lord, that's exactly what you need because he's going to show you the way to get there. You show the way how to get to your promised land. Hallelujah. So, and, to explain it even better, because, first things that you have to do not be wise on your own eyes. You don't have the old wisdom, he's old wisdom. Okay, he knows everything. Fear the Lord. I go back again to the same thing, okay? You don't want to miss him, okay? And depart from evil. Just make correction, you walk when you need to. As simple as that. Okay, so simply say, be wise. No, don't be wise in your own eyes. You don't think that you know better than God what you need. Okay, fear the Lord, okay? It's the beginning of wisdom. You're going to be able to listen. You're going to be able to connect with the truth, the things you have to do. And then apply the word to your life. You start working, listening. The scripture, Jesus said it 7 times in the New Testament. Who has ear to hear, let him hear. We have to learn to listen and to hear. That's what makes all the difference. Okay? So, and here he's repeating the same thing they said in Psalm 103. All the benefits you're going to add will be health to your flesh, strength to your bone, honor the Lord with your possession, and your firstborn and first fruit of will increase, so that the barn will be full with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. These are similar things. You're successful is going to be determined by following him, allowing him to do. Okay. So this is really very similar to Psalm 103. It's repeating the same thing. The Bible is repeating the same thing in many different places with different ways so that we grasp it, so that we understand it, so that we apply it. Okay, so one of the things we have to understand, okay, in using our wisdom, okay, is the coming after, just after this, when she says, be careful the way your position is, okay? It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Okay, this is, be careful about your own attitude in that. Children sometimes make a big fuss and they don't listen to the parents. Instead, here it said, don't do that, essentially, okay? So, do not despise the correction of the Lord, nor detest his correction. You see, the chastening here is actually the implication here, is better translated discipline. Okay. This word in English is just one word, but actually is meaning different things in different parts because of the different emphasis that goes. It's the same thing in English. You don't use, often words have different meaning, and you have to really apply properly to the sentence that you're reading it. Here he's saying essentially, okay, do not despise the discipline that the Lord can use, okay? Because he knows better, okay? And sometimes, okay, nor the test is correction. Often with discipline, correction comes as well. Okay? But knows very well, because of the wisdom he has, the proper discipline or the proper correction that is needed. Okay? He's not there with a sledgehammer, everything that there because you made a little mistake, a big story. No. He knows exactly what is going to help you in your situation so that you can break through. And he knows it so that you don't trust in your own understanding, but to trust in his understanding because you know that he cares for you and he's going to do the best option, the best idea that you can ever think. And so, you know, you learn to actually trust the Lord. You rely on him. You are not trying to go your way. You go his way. And you let him guide you. Okay? So, just, you know, and then goes on, verse 12, for the Lord loves, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son whom he delights. So the idea, you see, the fear of the Lord results in obedience, okay? And so that, because of obedience, there is need for correction. You see, the Lord doesn't need to correct all the time. If you have fear of the Lord, he doesn't need to correct you because you are listening already and you are doing to the things that, you know, you're obeying him. So he doesn't need to be, he's not there correcting all the time. It's not like those parents, as soon as you move, you know, just out of place, he just put you in, you know, don't let you move around. And some of them are like that because they're hyper. Okay? But that's not the way God is. He is full of understanding, full of love, full of knowing how to handle the situation, full of what is the best thing for you. And you have to start trusting him, okay, with everything. Okay, praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Just, you see, this is for the Lord loves, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. So, in idea, you see, I care for you. Okay, praise the Lord. That shows his love. Okay, and, you know, you better listen to him because that means he doesn't need to discipline you. He doesn't need to, you know, correct you at all because you correct yourself. And I give you the chance. You see, when just a, you know, stubborn, going to go your way, that he has to do something because he doesn't want you to be more damaged. Okay? So, let's go now to how he wants, you see, the bottom line, he wants to have, want to help you to get the complete victory. He wants to help you to succeed so that he can bless you as much as he can, as you can receive all the blessings. See, but John 3:2, it says it very clearly, you know, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If your soul is not prospering, you know, you're going to be able to get those things. So he is working on you so that you deal with, you know, your own thought, your own ideas, so that you open up to the truth that God wants to work on you and you let him, you start listening to him. Praise the Lord. I think that we run out of time. And I don't have to finish up everything, but I think I covered quite a bit of topic already, okay? And I believe that I showed it exactly the way the Word says, not in a negative way, is really the way God really works. Out of his love, out of his desire to be make you as successful as he can. And he's going to do everything with wisdom, with compassion, with mercy and grace. He's giving you more than you deserve. He's giving you what you exactly need because he knows exactly the way you are made better than you know yourself. This is why, you know, the things that we have to have in ourselves is really a trust in you, in him, because he is more reliable to look after you than you looking after yourself. I mean, that should be an encouragement for us to really keep listening and to be open, because he's the best things, you know, that can happen to you if we connect with him. And he wants to get you all the way around, all the way. And everybody that follows him, we have a great cloud of witness of people that came before us. And we can look at them, okay, especially some more than others, to be able to see that really what God wants to do with us. There are so many examples in the world, so many, you know, manifestation of what I've been talking about. They all came to be able to do the things that they did because they connected with God, and God helped them to grow to the point that he could bless them. Okay. I mean, Jacob, for example, you know, he became Israel. That was a big change from somebody that was crook and selfish and self-centered. He became, you know, Prince of God, or somebody that God could, was submitted to God, that was open to God's direction, that would listen to him and was not anymore selfish and self-centered, but was able to be used by God by the direction that he was imparting to his life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I think we can, a good place to land. Yeah. Okay? I hope you got something today and you got the right perspective of what God talks about when he talks about chastening. It's not just negative. You know, it's depending on where you are at, you know, he's going to deal with you exactly the way you need. So, no matter what, he's in control. And he's there, you can trust him. And so because you can trust it, you can relax and listen. And instead of putting up a tantrum, you can say, yes, Lord, I'm listening and I'm going to do and I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to get the blessings. Thank you. Forget not his benefits. Because his benefits are going to come when you listen and we are obedient. No matter where you are, when you are obedient, you gain all the time. Okay? And so, you know, that's the way we start, right where you are. You don't need to try to be a different place. Start where you are and start obeying, listening. Ask, Lord, direct me. Okay? Acknowledge him in all your ways. All your ways, that means the way you do things. Okay? In all the way, Lord, show me what's the next. What do you want me to do? And he will direct your path. That means, you know, he's not going to do nothing. He's going to show you what to do. Praise the Lord. And he is merciful. He is loving. And he wants to help you. More than sometimes we give him the chance to help us. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, let's close in prayer for today. Okay, and get motivated about really listening to the Lord, because he loves you and he's graceful, full of grace. He's willing to give you what you don't deserve. Amen? You know, it's not something that we can claim. Grace, you cannot claim. Grace, he gives to you because he loves you. That's wrong teaching. Okay. Okay, let's go before in prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Help us to trust in you, to believe that you care about us and want to help us to be fully victorious in our life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your faithfulness. We just open our heart to you to receive your direction, your help, and your victory. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. This is above every name. Thank you for everything you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.